Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast is now on YouTube. Go on YouTube and search Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast and click that subscribe button to never miss an episode. Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. I am one of your hosts, Wrestling Chris G, and on the other line with me today is the man that everybody thinks is a big old liar. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie Man, how you doing?
That's not true, and you know it.
Are you sure?
That's no. Well, you wouldn't know, would you?
No, I would. Well, I would know. That's the kicker.
I don't know, man.
Oh man, this week's episode is a trip, Doug. For everyone that's listening to this podcast, this is episode 57, episode 2 of season 2. They kind of chopped up the seasons a little weird here, but we're still gonna roll with it. And it's called The Perfect Hero, or translated from Japanese, it's Children's Day. Everyone come together.
Was it like, it's Children's Day, parentheses, everyone come together?
It's Children's Day, exclamation point, everyone come together, exclamation point.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, you don't like it?
Nah.
I'm starting to see that the Japanese translations is just strictly, what is this week's episode about? Oh, it's Children's Day in Pokemon.
Yeah, we don't have time to be cute. Let's go.
Because next week's is Riddle Me This, and that translates from Japanese, burn, exclamation point, Jiren Gym.
No, that's horrible.
Or Gurren Gym, I guess is what I should say. So that's next week. So yeah, they're straight and to the point.
Got no time for your nonsense.
The week after that, it translates decisive battle, exclamation point, Gurren Gym.
Jesus Christ.
Straight to the point, Doug. Straight to the point.
I guess.
So, how are you doing? It's been about a week since we've recorded. I guess we can play a little catch up here real quick. How are you? How are you doing on your end, man?
Here.
You're here. Well, so am I. We're recording this on July 20th. It's our good old friend C-Notes, who you heard on a previous podcast, everybody. Today is his birthday, that we're recording this. So little bastard gave me the ring around. I said happy birthday at 10 o'clock, and he's like, oh, Doug already beat you to it. I was like, I'm not competing with Doug. he's like, not to throw shade, but Doug already beat you. I was like, I'm not competing with Doug. I was like, I just woke up.
Well, and that's what I said, because he said, oh, you are the first. I said, I'll take it, but I wasn't shooting for anything.
So, yeah, I had a nice little day today. My wife worked for just a little bit. When she got off, we went out to the pool in the backyard and had a nice swim for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and came on inside. So hopefully it tired everyone out upstairs, because right now would be my daughter's bedtime that we're recording this.
Fuck this passive aggressive PC.
Oh, what's going on, Doug?
I just got an alert that says your battery's running low. You might want to think about plugging it in. Like, motherfucker.
Well, you might, unless this might be a one-man podcast this week.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Oh, people love my voice. That's what keeps them coming back, Doug. That's what keeps them coming back.
Hey, if you're not going to release the Ryder cut of that one episode, I don't want to hear your shit about you having a one-man show.
But it's funny. I did a little bit of digging in our downloads What is the top episode that's ever been downloaded? And it's the Flame Pokemon-a-thon. Like that is by far the number one episode. I think someone is spamming that episode because that episode has been listened to so much more than some of these other ones, but it's holding out at number one.
Well, it's legitimately funny. I mean, there's no real stakes to it. It's a very isolated episode, but like,
it's funny.
And I don't think it starts like from jump, like with its main point, but like, it doesn't waste a lot of time. You know, like they get to the dude ranch and then like they're immediately thrown into the conflict. And it's like, okay, this is what we're going to be doing for 20 minutes or 18 or whatever by the time they get there.
Well, before we get into our date, I wanted to go over, I'll do the top 15 just to kind of tell you what variants that people are listening to our podcast, Doug, and it might raise a little bit of eyebrows to you.
All right.
So number two is episode 28, Pokemon Fashion Flash. So that's number two. Number three is our very first episode that we ever put out. Following number three to number four is the second episode that we've ever put out, Pokemon Emergency. Number five is Wake Up Snorlax. Number six is Showdown at Dark City. Seven is The Punchy Pokemon. Number eight is The March of the Executor Squad. Number nine is The Problem with Paris, which is, I mean, that's pretty funny. Number 10 is The Battling Eevee Brothers. So one of your more favorite episodes is in the top 10, Doug.
As it should be.
And then number 11 is Cyber Soldier Porygon. 12 is Jason Page's episode with the Chansey Operation. 13 is Attack of the Prehistoric Pokemon. 14 is Pikachu's Goodbye. And 15 is The Song of Jigglypuff. And then it just goes on from there.
Yeah.
So that's a wide range. So it seems like people enjoy our episodes mainly either they're listening to the first two episodes and then they're finding their favorite ones, which is more of the more recent episodes that we have done that's been released as of right now, because a lot of them range between 20 to the 40s.
Yeah, I was thinking that as you were reading off the titles, I was like, those sound like a lot of our more recently uploaded episodes, which isn't a bad thing.
No, it's not.
That shows that people are still interested.
But what I like about all of these is, yes, that I only went over the top 15, but there's not much of a difference between any of those downloads. Even from 15 going down to 30, all it takes is a couple like downloads for some of these episodes to kind of bounce around, which makes it interesting to me. So I want to thank our audience right now that is listening to us, and thank our patriots as well, whoever is subscribed to the Patreon listening to the episodes a week in advance. So I'd like to tip my hats to you. But you ready, Doug, to go into our history moment?
Yeah, let me pull up my thing just so I have a few extra tidbits.
And this week, our episode aired in Japan July 9th, 1998. And here in the States, it actually aired on September 11th, 1999. So for obvious reasons, we're not going to go over a historical date for September 11th. But we're going to go with the Japanese one, just due to the whole controversial September 11th events.
Well, that's controversial is a poor choice of words.
You know what I mean.
I mean,
and I'm sure everyone else else understands too. Yeah.
Well, no, because you say controversial, then you got people thinking that you're one of the whack jobs that thinks it's an inside job or something.
No, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay, so I get what you're saying, Doug. I don't mean controversial like that, everyone. What I mean is the sad events of everything that kind of happened
on that morning. And
yes,
I mean, just, you know, for future reference, if you stick with us, I think we've decided that the next time there's an episode that falls on September 11th, because there is going to be, we looked it up. I think it's like in season 3, maybe season 4. I think we looked it up.
Yeah, I'd have to go on and check, but I'm almost positive. I think it's in season 3. No, oh, it's not for a while. I think it's a movie that came out. Maybe. I don't know. There was something that came out that was around that time frame. So, I mean, we'll hit it once we get it. But then we will go over a more historical moment. But just going forward for today.
And that'll probably be the one thing that we just both talk about that day, probably. And, I mean, I'm coming up with that off the top of my head.
But. And yeah. I think that's fair. We could both talk about where we were during that time frame and all of that. Yeah. But we're gonna go with the Japanese date today. So we're going with July 9th. So again, this came out in 1998 in Japan. And Doug, me and you both have our dates. Yours beat me because you're in 2001 and mine is in 2015. So if you like to take the ball here, the floor is yours, my brother.
I will take the ball that you tried to snipe from me.
It wasn't on purpose.
I know. There's no way you could have known. But on this date in 2001, the original UK version of The Office premieres on BBC Two. And I don't feel like at this point you have to qualify that it's the original, because over the course of the pandemic and everything, I feel like everybody has watched The Office at least two times through, even just by accident, just because of the sheer amount of Peacock commercials and...
Well, not even just that, but Peacock is... They've re-released The Office with extra scenes now that you're getting on a weekly basis.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it was a big thing. You know, everybody was watching it on Netflix, and then you went on Twitter like the day it got taken off, and people were like, this is what happened as soon as... Because they, like... Because they took it off at, like, whatever, 2 o'clock, and it just kicked you back to the home screen. And people were pissed off, and then, you know, I think we knew that it was going on Peacock. I feel like the announcement had to be made, and I think they even made a thing like, hey, The Office is going to be on Netflix for another 2 days or something. So people, but this is the original. There was only 6 episodes and a movie of the original. Well, not a movie, a Christmas special.
I was about to say, I was like, wait a minute, did I miss an Office movie?
Well, you might have, because it would have been in the UK, but I mean a Christmas special. And the Christmas special was the finale. And then the UK, or the UK, the US version didn't come along until 2005. And then, of course, that ended up getting, pardon me, that got 9 seasons. The last two being without Steve Carell, which there's been numerous podcasts still ongoing, and there's a big debate whenever the topic comes up of should it ended when he left. And
I don't even think Comedy Central doesn't play the episodes where he's gone, do they?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't watched Comedy Central in years.
Yeah, I mean, I turn on The Office every now and then, and he's on every single episode that I'm watching, and I know the big scuttlebutt of when he left The Office to pursue other acting, to pursue his acting career in other ventures, and it's just, it's different. I've seen it. It's a more awkward office because he's not there anymore.
Right.
But just the fact that when he was there, it was such a great show. I liked it. And I still to this day, if it's on Comedy Central at 10 or 11 o'clock at night and I'm just laying in the bed, I'll turn it on and I'll have it as background noise.
Well, and that's what it became for so many people. It's just it was background noise. It was like, you know, I don't really want to think about what to watch, so I'm just going to throw on an episode or two of The Office and pass out on the couch. You know.
Yes.
But yeah, so this was the original. I feel like, and I mean, it might happen just because we're in America and all that stuff. But I feel like the UK version kind of gets put on the back burner just because the US version took on such a life of its own and became a I was going to say a cult classic, but that's kind of shortchanging it. It became a classic in its own right that it's like, oh, yeah. And I mean, I've seen the UK version, you know, once through.
Oh, so you've actually watched the entire UK version.
Well, I mean, heck, you can do it in 2 hours. well, maybe. I think that Christmas special might have been a little longer. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a tough watch. I mean, it's got Ricky Gervais in it, and he's funny. He plays David Brent, who basically became the Steve, which is the Steve Carell character. He was the boss of the I can't think of what the company was in the UK version because it obviously wasn't Dunder Mifflin. But
no, you're good, man.
No, but yeah. So I watched it at least once just to see, because you know you got the hipster say, well, actually, it was a UK show, and you know they push their glasses up on their nose and look all snobby. It's like, fine, I'm going to watch it just to check it off. It was good. It was, you know.
Okay. I always find it funny when I'm watching a TV show and I find out that there's a whole nother version of this TV show somewhere else and it's not the same actors and all that. Like, and I'll pull one that I know everybody and their mom watched growing up, and I'll pull Power Rangers. Power Rangers has a life of its own all around the world, and nothing is like any of the versions. Like, you watch it in Japanese, it's a completely different show. You watch it in America, it's definitely a completely different show. You watch it over in the UK, different version. Like, it varies depending on where you actually watch it. So I just think that's pretty funny.
No, I'm curious about, and this is completely, you know, off topic already, but I'm curious, isn't the well, I guess the American, English, whatever you want to call it, version of Power Rangers, isn't that just the Japanese version just dubbed over?
The originals.
The yes. Original, okay.
Yes. I believe, and don't fully quote me, but I'm like 80% positive on my statement I'm about to make. I believe that the company that produces Power Rangers has an American location out here now, that they film everything out here now, and that they're able to.
Okay.
So I don't think it's 100% dubbed over like it used to be, because the old Mighty Morphin Power Rangers used to be maybe like 5 minutes of recording stuff, and everything else was just dubbed over from the Japanese version.
Right.
and that's all it was. Like, you would have them in Angel Grove, maybe at the command center or on the beach or wherever the setting is. They'll have it at the beginning, and then you'll have something at the very end. But everything in the middle was all Japanese. So, I didn't know anything about that, like, growing up. I just watched it and thought it was all in English and thought this was the, like, coolest thing I've ever watched. So,
right.
So, but you guys are not here to listen to us rant about Power Rangers and all this nostalgia stuff.
No, but that's the next show.
Yeah, that's another show. So mine that happened on July 9th was in 2015, the 48th San Diego Comic-Con begins, and it includes a preview of the new Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. So this would be the very first Star Wars that we have gotten in 10 years, because I believe the last one was in 2005, and then the newest one, they all came out in December, and then starting with the one that came out in December 18th, 2015. And yeah, that I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I can't say too much for like Star Trek or anything like that. I'll watch it. I know the story. I'm just not as big into Star Trek as I am Star Wars. And a lot of people, and you including, Doug, right before we started recording, even brought up the point that a lot of people want to act like these final movies that they made never happened. And I'm solely in the camp that they answered a lot of questions that I had in the newer version, so I can't pretend like it never happened. I did enjoy it, and not even just that, but it, the fact that I was able to watch all three movies with my son in a movie theater and have him kind of geek out with me was a treasure enough. So you can't take that away from me now. So I enjoy these movies. And even though the newest ones aren't my favorite Star Wars movies, I still enjoyed watching. And I'm glad that they brought it back.
They serve a function.
Yes. Yes. Completely. So, but I just wanted to bring that up. I'm sure I've brought it up in the past in the 50-some episodes that we've done. Something along the lines of Star Wars. Because anytime that Star Wars, anything Star Wars related, I'll jump on a historical moment. But yeah. So that's my historical moment. Was that we got the first preview of the new Star Wars movies in 10 years. So hats off, and people geeked out until it came out, and the movie still made a lot of money. So I can't be mad at it. I mean, it served its purpose. It made its billions and billions of dollars. So I'm good.
So the preview came out here in Comic-Con on the 9th of July, but then the movie didn't hit theaters until, what'd you say, the 15th of December? 18th.
The 18th.
18th.
The 15th of December was the second.
So you had a lot of time to chew on however long that trailer was.
Well, it's not even just that, but they didn't release the official. So only the people at Comic-Con got to watch that trailer. We didn't get to watch the trailer outside of someone filming it from the Comic-Con for about another. It was almost 60 days that we did not actually get that preview, like where we could watch it on YouTube or in a movie theater. I mean, all we got were like teasers here and there, but they got a full-blown 2-minute teaser trailer at Comic-Con, and I wish I was there when that happened, because I watched the fan that recorded it, and the people that were just geeking out was just it was awe-inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, there's an energy in that room for sure.
Yes. So All right. So outside of that, you ready to get on into episode 57, Doug? Wow.
Makes me think of ketchup.
I thought Ash's last name makes you think of ketchup.
Well, yeah.
So, all right, everybody. This week's episode, as we said before, is called The Perfect Hero. And purred like a cat. P-U-R-R hyphen fect. F-E-C-T. So let's go ahead. I have the episode pulled up. We are watching the Pokemon.com version. I'm using the app on the Android TV. And I believe you're watching it on the actual website itself, Doug?
Yes.
Okay. And this is the raw version. So this is the version that came out when it aired on TV.
Yeah, so, because we have the commercial break, we have the Who's That Pokemon, and we have the jukebox at the. I mean, we had the raps in the first season, but it like says, "Oh, stay tuned, Pikachu's jukebox is coming up." So somebody just took this directly
from the TV version is just like here. So I'm hoping by the time we're done with season two that they'll put season three and four on this. Otherwise, we're gonna have to find a different way to record. But we got a long time before we have to do that. So
well, couldn't you, I mean this is inside baseball, but couldn't you put a couple of them there episodes on that there Dropbox?
I could. I can put those episodes, but my episodes don't have subtitles.
Ah, yeah. See, and that's where we ran into with the move. Well, we'll figure something out. We got.
Yeah. So, because.
Forget about subtitles.
As I stated before, I own the whole Pokemon collection on DVD, but I bought it from someone on eBay that converted the HD copies over and bootlegged it. And I bought it all for like $100. So, and I'm still running through all of these episodes. I'm in the 400s. I think I might be in the 500s now. I think I am. Yeah, I am in the 500s now. So, but yeah, all right. So we start this week's episode with our trio, Togepi in hand with Misty and Pikachu on Ash's back. Brock, of course, is holding the map like he always is. I wonder who put Brock in charge of the map. It's that or he just doesn't trust Ash. Well, yeah, he must not trust Ash and Misty because when they've had the map in the past, they were completely lost. But Brock's no better either.
Well, and he is the oldest.
Yeah, he is. So, the narrator lets it known that our trio is on their way to Cinnabar Island and on their way to competing in the Pokemon League. And already immediately, Misty sees a bunch of, what would you call these? Because they're not flags.
No, they're not flags. And I was thinking about this. Pennants?
I guess you can call it that. Like little balloons.
Balloons is good, but they're
popular in Japan, and what they are is they're like balloons of Pokemon where the air kind of circulates through the balloon, keeping it up, and it waves like a flag. I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, I mean they have them here too. I mean they're not as frequent, but like. I mean, balloon flags would be like an oversimplified, because you're right. Like, it's open air, and the way they're hanging like you would hang a flag.
Well, the episode calls them banners.
I mean, I don't think there's a wrong. I mean, you're definitely right that it's not a flag.
Yes.
A banner, a pennant, a fucking flying logo, you know.
But yes, we have three of these floating in the air. Starting at the bottom, we have a Magikarp. Above it is a Godin, and above that is a Gyarados. And they're flowing in the air, and Misty's like, oh, look at that. And Ash is like, oh, I remember now. Today is my favorite day of the year. Today is, it's Kids Day. And that's when we go into the title sequence where we get the perfect hero.
What does Goldeen evolve into?
Sinking.
Yeah, what the hell? He's getting gypped.
I know, for real. Well, Gyarados can beat a sinking. I think Gyarados
How are you going to have a Magikarp and then in between that a Goldeen and then in between that a Gyarados and no mention of a Sea King to save your life?
Who the fuck wants a Sea King, though?
Well, me at this point.
So the trio is looking at the banners, and they said, oh, it's cool. I remember when I was little, I used to look forward to Kids Day, and I could play all day. And Ash is like, Misty, we can't just take a whole day off and just go and play when I'm still when I still need my volcano badge from Cinnabar Island.
Never mind the fact we just had frickin' what you call it?
Princess Festival.
Princess Festival.
Yeah, and Ash brings that up too. He's like, we just had your Princess Festival, and Brock is just hilarious. He's like, his day should be a boys' holiday only. And then Brock comes up in a samurai outfit. And he's like, for men. And Ash is in a black belt karate outfit. And he's like, real men. And he's kicking. And then we get a nice shot of Brock in a sumo outfit before he gets clunked in the head along with Ash, because Misty's not having any of it. Misty's just sitting there, and she's like, well, yeah, I get Princess Day, but Kids Day is for everybody. We're not just going to have me be out of it because I'm a woman.
Well, yeah, but that's bullshit. She also spent a whole day eating fucking ice cream.
And didn't
she
share.
Didn't
not
have to
not
pay
a,
for it. And not didn't enough. Share. Yeah, right, exactly. So
from here, Doug, since I did a little bit of the opening, I'm going to hand this next part over to you after she bonks Ash, Pikachu, and Brock in the head. And I don't know why Pikachu needed to be bonked on the head.
Yeah, Pikachu kind of got, pardon me, Pikachu got guilty by association there. I don't know, because she's never violent towards Pikachu.
No.
So, yeah, and this is why Brock should never put down the map, because I'm assuming that's what she hit him with.
This is why he holds the damn map.
This is why. So, yeah, as they're cowering with bandages on their head, we hear a voice off screen say that she's glad that they're here, and she says they've been expecting some Pokemon trainers, and that the children are waiting on the playground, and we see this stereotypical version of a school teacher. She's got a nice dress, and she's moderately tall, and Brock is immediately hard.
He's like, ooey, ooey. He's like, my name's Brock. And he just jumps up and grabs her hand. It's a pleasure to meet an educator as enchanting as you are. And then she gets a phone call. Don't you want to take that?
Nobody has cell phones. She gets a phone call.
I know.
But it turns out that the trainers that she was actually expecting have canceled, which causes a classic sitcom mix-up of, what do you mean you can't make it? You're already here. And then, you know, thankfully it doesn't turn out like it usually would in a sitcom where we have to take 15 minutes to avoid saying the obvious. And,
She has a nice cell phone for 1998. I just want to throw that out there.
This is Japan. They got the advanced shit.
Apparently.
And So the teacher's crestfallen because the actual trainers that she was expecting have canceled, and she's like, oh, the kids are going to be disappointed. And then Ash just kind of absentmindedly says, well, we're Pokemon trainers. And
she immediately is like, well, you don't have time to play with the children here. And Brock gets hard again.
He's well, no, like, he's still hard.
And he's like, we have all the time in the world. We have tons of time. The kids can play with all of our Pokemon.
You don't lose that kind of hard on that quick.
And then he throws shade on the other trainers too. He's like, those trainers must be heartless. You can count on us. Disappoint. Right, Ash?
Disappoint children. And then we get, they walk into the school, and then we get another brief look into the childhood of James, as we find out that Team Rocket has been hiding behind. What were they hiding behind? It was clunky as fuck.
They were hiding behind.
They were trees. They were trees. Yeah, they're make believing as trees.
Yes.
And we find out that James also loved Children's Day, because he could do laps in his pool and eat all the ice cream, which is unhealthy. If he's swimming and eating all that ice cream, all in that, he's cramps, man.
And I'd like to throw some shade. That was not ice cream that he was eating. That looked like straight up rice balls with like a leaf on top.
I had caviar.
Okay, so you have caviar. I have what looked like rice balls to me. So that, but me and you are on the same page. That was not ice cream.
That was not ice cream. I mean, knowing that it's supposed to be ice cream, I can make up my mind that it's like Moose Tracks ice cream. It's like the vanilla with the chocolate swirls and the peanut butter cups and all that stuff. But yeah, that's not ice cream.
No. And we go straight from that to Jesse's like, you had a pool and all the ice cream you can eat. And James like, yeah, didn't everybody have all that? And Jesse's like, not me. And she's like, I didn't have a day off from school or a swimming pool in the backyard. And the only sandwiches I ever got were bologna with one slice. And James just starts sobbing and he starts crying right on top of Meowth.
Yeah, poor me. Well, that's what he gets for being short. But this is bullshit because, I mean,
didn't we establish that Jesse was rich?
I thought so.
And okay. And this is a conclusion.
Maybe not as rich as James.
No, but I mean, and this is something that I found out watching the episodes even further along. There comes a time where James and Meowth stop believing Jesse, because it seems like any type of scenario that they come across, Jesse just so happens to have done something with it. So it's gotten to the point where Meowth straight up goes, oh, are we about to get another flashback? And James is like, yeah, it sounds like she's done something with this. And
now, wait a minute. You can't. We hit that point. We hit it last week.
No, it gets a lot worse.
They literally said that last week, because they're sitting on the bench as the girls were fighting over the, or
they were fighting over the clothes.
Well, they were fighting over the clothes, but then because she was talking about she only had hand-me-down dolls or something.
Yes,
that's what it was.
So, like, freaking Jesse, make up your mind.
Yeah,
like at least keep up with your lies. And Meowth just threw shade right on Jesse, because as soon as she says that, he's like, a pathetic childhood can create a pathetic person. I was like, well, damn. Tell him how you really feel, Meowth.
Well, and he's probably sick of it. He probably gets it every day.
And she just full-blown just stomps on his head and she just says, "Shut your meow."
Shut your meow. That's good.
All right, Doug. I'll give you this next scene when the kids are being introduced to the trainers.
So we're back in the schoolyard, and the teacher calls for the children, and they come a running, and it's a whole mess of them, and they're all running, and I can't tell what time of year this is supposed to be because I was thinking summer, but here these kids come running. Well, not summer because obviously they wouldn't be in school, but here these kids come and they look like they're wearing like winter clothes. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I wouldn't call that winter clothes. It looks like this school is a private school because if you look at them, all the boys are wearing a green shirt, and then all the girls are wearing a pink one. And they're all kind of matching top-wise. I mean, the pants kind of are different colors, but it looks like this is a private school.
What are you looking at little kids' pants for, Chris?
Because I'm putting two and two together to answer your question, asshole.
So the kids are immediately drawn to Pikachu because obviously Pikachu kind of put himself behind the eight ball because he's not in a Pokeball. So the kids are kind of pulling and poking and prodding at him, and Ash is like, "Hey, I would cut that shit out if I was you." And I have it on a screenshot at 4:41, and you can see that Brock's nervous, and Misty's just got this smile like these kids are about to fucking get it. And Pikachu's like, "All right, this is gonna have to stop here. This is gonna have to. It's not stopping. Okay."
Pikachu was about to fry.
He was gonna fry the kids. He was gonna. He was gonna fry the kids completely.
Freaking Ash! Freaking saved all the kids who just went and grabbed Pikachu, put Pikachu above his head, and then just got fried.
Just took it. And you know, the kids are like, "Oh, it's a Pokemon! Give me the Pokemon! Give me the Pokemon! Give me!" Finally, the teacher snaps and says, "Quiet down, you brats!" Calls the kids brats.
Dude, they portrayed her as like the devil in this scene. I'm at a screen grab at 5 minutes exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And like they gave her like the horns like going up, the like little like wrinkle marks on the top of her forehead, and just the vampire teeth and with the red fiery background when she was like, "Quiet, you brats." I was like, "Well, damn."
She'd have been fired right there.
And all the kids just looked at her and was like, "Okay." So she's used to doing this.
I was going to say she's done this before.
And then one of the boys is like, "We want more Pokemon." And the little girl's like, "Show us more." And Ash is like, "All right, we have a real treat for you today. Charizard." No, I'm just joking.
You're right.
But
little kid s'mores.
But Ash throws out his Pokeball to what was it? Pidgeotto, Squirtle.
Squirtle, Bulbasaur, and then we get Misty's bunch, and then
Staryu, Starmie, Horsea, and Godin, and Brock Psyduck.
Psyduck.
And then Brock has four. So he has Geodude, Zubat, Onix, and Vulpix.
And we see a quick montage of kids riding Squirtle, and a couple of kids are petting Bulbasaur, and
these kids were being assholes to these Pokemon. Especially Psyduck.
Well, Psyduck, but he's, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it looked like Squirtle was into it, but you can't be riding Squirtle like that. Like, that's just, what are you doing?
Oh, I hope this school has some type of insurance, because I'm looking at the back right now and I see a little boy holding on to Pidgeotto's feet and just flying across.
I missed that, yeah.
And freaking the kids are chasing Psyduck, and we all know what happens to Psyduck when Psyduck gets a really bad headache.
What about the kids riding Onix? Like, how high up he is?
They're sliding down his back like a slide, just going down.
Oh yeah, and you're right. That kid that's hanging on to Pidgeotto is not even acknowledged. It's just in the background as Ash and everybody are talking. It's like, oh, there goes little Johnny.
And then we get introduced to Timmy.
Right.
Timmy is a little boy. He's off in the corner, and he is not playing with any of the Pokemon. And we come over, everyone comes over, and he doesn't want to play with these Pokemon because the only Pokemon that he wants to play with is Meowth. And the only reason story of why he wants Meowth, because he was in the forest all by himself, which why was he in the forest by himself? And he had an encounter with a Beedrill, and the Beedrill started chasing him, and then out of nowhere, the Meowth came and basically karate kicked the Beedrill and scratched the Beedrill to save his life. And then the Meowth went and ran away, and we find out that the kids do not believe his story from the Meowth, because no one's ever seen this Meowth.
Right.
So,
which is ridiculous, because it's a wild Meowth. How in the world are you going to tell one Meowth apart from the other?
Yeah, for real. But this Meowth saved the little child's life, and he thinks Meowth is the best Pokemon in the world. And after he's done telling the story, the kids are like, oh, are you telling that story again? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, you're lying. And he's like, I'm not lying. And the little brat being a little like first or second grader, depending on what grade these kids are in, of course they're going to be like, well, prove it. And of course he's not going to be able to prove it right now, because where the hell is Meowth? He's a wild Meowth.
He's a wild Meowth. He's running around karate chopping bee drills, for goodness sake.
For real. So it's at this point, let's see, that we get a magic surprise, Doug. And here, I'll let you take this part.
Yeah, these people should be arrested immediately. can't just be rolling up with a magic surprise to a schoolyard, for goodness sake.
Well, this is 1998, though.
Wow, this is true. And we see Team Rocket's hanging out this bus, and
James is cosplaying as a girl again.
Well, you know, whatever gets his kicks off. they're saying the Pokemon Magic Show is free because it's Children's Day, and the kids are impressed by the loud music and the brightly colored band, and Jessie's holding a deck of cards, and she says, well, first we're going to make some Pokemon disappear. And we see in the van, and we see Meowth is hiding in a box. And what does he say? Meowth pops his head out of the box and says, do you think we can pull this off? And
James is basically telling him to shut up.
He says, be quiet or I'll saw you in half.
But what I want to know is, okay, I want to talk about the outfits real quick, Doug.
No, we don't need to talk about how James is in a dress. We've addressed it.
But that's not the only thing. Like, I'm at a screen grab at 8 minutes and 54 seconds into this episode, and Jesse is straight up in the male outfit, and James is in the girl outfit.
Yeah.
Like, I guess to each his own for cosplay.
It's 2021, Chris. You can't be that.
No, I just thought it was weird. Like, maybe they were inside of the car and they were getting dressed, and by the time they had the outfits on, James was like, well, I'm not taking this off now.
would have been a... Honestly, they should have shot that. Like, they get out of the van and they go, oh, crap.
Well, it is what it is now.
And James just looks and goes, I already put these hoes on. I'm not going to...
So, maybe that's how they tricked Ash and them again into believing their outfits, because who would think James is actually dressed like a girl?
Yeah, they don't have the benefit of watching 56 other episodes.
For real.
Including the band one that we're not going to talk about.
Inflatable breasts. All right.
I don't know. Well, I'm not gonna litigate that again.
Yeah, we don't have time for that one today. Go back and listen to Beauty and the Beach, everybody. Great episode. Great episode.
It was an episode.
Had to be so great, we had to record it twice.
I mean, yeah, that one, that could have been the best one we ever did, but because we had to record it twice, it's dead to me.
So, all right, Doug, I'll let you continue. So they're on stage.
So, yeah, they're about to begin the magic show, and they have a magic box that they show off as empty. Ooh. And they say, but once a Pokemon is placed inside, something magic will happen. And they're looking for a Pokemon, and shock or surprise.
They said, is there a Pikachu in the audience?
And they said, oh. And so, like, are Ash, Misty, and Brock stupid?
Apparently.
Because, like...
they're not hiding their hair. Like, right. Their hair is a very distinctive part of them.
Right. I mean, you can make mask logic all you want, you know, because all their faces are technically hidden. But Jesse has a very distinct curl of bright red hair, and James is walking around with a purple bowl cut. And you don't see that very often.
No, you don't. So James runs over and grabs Pikachu. And he's like, and they're like, first we put Pikachu into the box like so, and then we close the lid. Now watch. 1, 2, 3. And then some smoke appears, a very like mild case of smoke appears around this box. And
we call that AEW syndrome.
Yes. Barbed wire death match. So, and then as they say, ta-da, and out comes Meow.
And the kids go crazy because it's a magic trick and they're 5 or whatever.
Yes.
And then that's it. They're leaving. And Ash goes, what about my Pikachu?
Like, you look very familiar to me. Who are you guys anyway? And of course, when they get asked who they are, they can't help themselves but to throw off their clothes. They threw off their clothes in front of children. I'm just not putting
two and two together. Yes, they did. They did. But I'm choosing to believe, for the benefit of my sanity, that they had that on. Because otherwise, this whole thing...
falls apart.
They should get arrested, like I said.
Because James has pants on now. He didn't have pants on like 20 seconds ago.
Oh shit, I don't want to think about it. Jesse's fine
because she was covered from head to toe. James, on the other hand, that's a different story. He was in a full-blown dress with apparently pants underneath.
That's horrible.
But of course they get asked who they are, and they can't help themselves but to have a quick change and be back in their Team Rocket outfits. And they're like, presto, change-o, and make it double. And then all the kids are clamoring over.
They attack them.
Yeah. And Team Rocket is like, all right, everyone, we're just getting to the good part. Like, they are not for kids or anything. And then we go through the montage of them going through their slogan that they normally go through. And they wasn't interrupted until the very ending of it when Jesse's hair started getting pulled.
Yeah, they almost pulled her hair clean off her head. One kid's straight up on James's face.
Again, they should be arrested.
Yeah, they should.
And Ash, Misty, and Brock aren't even fazed. They're just like, well, they're kind of getting their own, so we're just going to stay back on this one. And we get James, after he's thrown the children off of him, looking all sorts of messed up. And then the kids are playing with his wheezing.
They're like playing volleyball with wheezing. And then old devil lady has to come out.
What did she say?
Something to knock it off this instant.
Yeah, she's like, children, please stop before someone gets hurt. And they just ignore her, and they're just playing with the ball. And she just screams. She's like, get inside this instant. I was like, oh, well, damn.
Okay, we're going inside. And they run. They're happier than pigs and shit.
So it goes straight from that. The kids are all happy. They're not fazed at all. And then James goes and has Wheezing do smoke screen on the outside of this school.
And then we get
a commercial break.
And then we get the act break, which unfortunately you don't have the opportunity to ask me who the Pokemon is, because
it's War Turtle,
which is they haven't seen.
No, they haven't.
They have not seen him.
I told you, bro. I said once we get to a specific moment in Pokemon, they're going to start having these who's that Pokemon of Pokemon that's not in the episode.
It's lazy.
Well, who could they have put as the who's that Pokemon this week? Because we've already had Meowth. Have we?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure we have.
Maybe. We should have been. We should have been key. I'm gonna try for it in 2 weeks, because we're recording a second episode after we're done with this one. I'm gonna try to write down what Pokemon we've had in the Who's That Pokemon to kind of keep track, because I feel like they do each Pokemon once.
Well, the only other one that I could think might have been Meowth was probably Paris. So they could have probably done Meowth.
I think they did Parasect for that episode, didn't they?
Oh, they might have.
I think they did, because I think we got Parasect before he even evolved.
Well, shit.
So, but yeah, this is the Who's That Pokemon, and we come back, and Weezing is using smoke screen, and then Meowth is kind of confused, because Meowth is looking around like, well, shit, I can't see anything now, and then we got good old little Timmy still outside that did not run inside like the teacher said.
Disobedient little shit.
Well, he's happy because he finally sees a Meowth.
I don't care if he's happy. He disobeyed the teacher.
For facts.
For goodness sake. But yeah, so he just attacks Meowth.
Yep.
Because he's a shit and, you know, knocks the box over, which unbeknownst to Team Rocket, knocks
Pikachu out
the box. And, you know, Team
Did
Rocket.
Did they tie Pikachu inside of that box or something? Like, Pikachu just rolled.
No, Pikachu was just in the box. Just
just chilling.
Just hanging out, which makes me think, why couldn't Pikachu
just jump out of the box?
Just out of the box, but that's neither here nor there. He's out of the box anyway.
And James has enough nerve to go, quit playing around, Meowth. And Meowth is like, okay. And Meowth just runs away with Team Rocket, and they just book it out of there. And Ash runs after the truck that they were using and says, come back here. And Pikachu just runs out of the smoke screen from the side of the building like nothing's happened.
And, you know, it's a happy reunion after 5 whole minutes apart or whatever.
And then we find out that this teacher is about to get fired.
And like I said earlier, she probably should anyway. She's screaming at the kids, calling them brats. She's probably on thin ice anyway.
For real.
But yeah, in the confusion, they can't find Timmy. And apparently, in teaching, it's a big no-no to lose children.
Yeah. I mean, you lose a child, you lose your job.
Well, doesn't seem fair, really. Child wants to run away.
But it's at this time that Team Rocket drives into the forest, and we see Team Rocket again, and they're now with the magic box, who they believe Pikachu is still inside. So James is ready with the net, and Jesse is ready to pounce on this Pikachu in case it wants to run, and Meowth is just standing there just looking like a boss.
But Meowth should know that there's at least a possibility that something might be, because he got knocked over. Now, I understand.
There was smoke screen around.
I understand that. But Meowth should say, you know, I think that box might have been opened. But it's just Meowth. They've shown that they don't listen to him already. So James is ready with a net. Jesse opens the box.
And they pull out a crying little Timmy.
They pull out a crying little Timmy, and he's just bawling his eyes out. And James, so stupid, he looks in the box.
Yeah, he's like, oh, there's no Pikachu.
Like he must have been sitting on him. And, you know, Timmy squirms out of Jesse's grasp and runs over to Meowth and says, don't you remember me, Meowth?
Oh, you're missing a funny line. He's like, how could Pikachu not be in here? And Meowth just goes, maybe it was magic. But yeah, okay. As you were saying, Doug, he sees Meowth, and he believes this is the same Meowth that saved him from the bee drill earlier in the episode.
Right.
And he's like, don't you remember me? I was in the forest and you chased away the bee drill. And Meowth is like, Meowth? And he's like, ever since you saved me that day, I wanted a Meowth of my very own. That's because you're my hero. And Meowth is getting ready to talk. And it's at this point that Team Rocket covers Meowth's mouth because they're like, oh, we got something here. Because they don't want Meowth to blow his cover. So they go and they run behind this truck. And they tell Meowth, this kid thinks he saw you before. Maybe you can be the key to getting us back over to that school, and you can act like a wild Meowth. And then Team Rocket is like, yeah, we're in the business of destroying children, or no, we're not in the business of destroying children's dreams. We might be
dirty, rotten scoundrels.
Yeah. But Team Rocket thinks that they can now be heroes to this little boy on Kids Day. And Meowth is like, I can be a hero. And then we get a little montage of Meowth in a, like, what looks like a Superman outfit with the letter M for Meowth on the front of his outfit.
Yeah. And that was actually the cover picture for this episode on the website. That was Meowth standing on the globe.
Yes.
Meowth. And Meowth is kind of buying into this fantasy, and he says, I'll do it. And Team Rocket reminds him not to speak because Pokemon can't speak. And then Meowth like has to remember that for like the third time in like 4 weeks, he's had to remember that he is in fact a Pokemon.
Well, he acts like a human and he eats like a human. He doesn't eat Pokemon food.
I understand, but he's done it in like the last three episodes as well. At some point, it's going to sink in.
So, Team Rocket creepily comes from behind the truck and he's like, sorry for keeping you waiting, crybaby. And just the look on, okay, I'm sorry, but, I mean, obviously later on, they don't draw them as creepy, but I'm at 13 minutes and 47 seconds in this episode, and Jesse just looks creepy as hell, and James is like, I got you now. And the little boy James is like, even tough guys are scared of Team Rocket. And they have this whole plan that Meowth is going to go and save this little boy again. And Meowth goes right up And playing his role scratches the mess out of Jesse and James.
And he, and they had to know this was coming.
Yes.
They had to know Meowth was going to take this. Because he's done it before. Well, I mean, he's done it before, but he's been legitimately pissed at him. But they have to know that Meowth's not going to pull a punch.
No. And Jesse's like, oh, he did that really good. And he's like, and James is like, yeah, Meowth did that a little too good. And and they're like kind of stunned and paralyzed from the scratch. And Meowth runs little Timmy back over to his little private school.
Yes, because, you know, he's going to play the hero because he's bought into the fantasy. And so we're back at the school, and Ash is attempting to rally the troops. And so we got to find Timmy, and everybody's all hyped up. And the teacher basically shouts at the rest of the kids to go back in.
Because she doesn't want to lose another damn child.
Absolutely.
So she yells at them, and Ash, Misty, and Brock are just looking at her. And they're basically like, yeah, she's not a people person. But then they don't have to go looking far, because coming back in the entrance is good old little Timmy holding Meowth right behind, or not holding him, but with Meowth running behind him. And he introduced Meowth to everybody that this is the Meowth that saved him back in the day.
And again, how can he prove that?
He can't.
He can't.
But he's a little, 5-6 year old little boy, so you can't tell him nothing.
Well, this is true. But if something happens, it happened.
Yes. And it's at this point, which is a key part in the episode, that all the kids look at this Meowth and they finally accept Timmy into their own, and they're like, oh, I guess you were telling the truth after all. Because now that he's brought this Meowth back, all these kids believe him, because I mean, Meowth is right in front of them now.
And even Ash and Brock seem to be buying it, but get a quick glimpse of Misty, and she's skeptical.
She's very skeptical, but she even gets even more skeptical, because after line exchanges from the kids with little Timmy, Meowth accidentally talks and then has to remember that he's a Pokemon again and goes straight back into Meowth, Meowth, and Misty catches him. She's like, that Meowth just talked. And nobody else heard Meowth talk.
That Meowth, I swear to God. Heard him say it.
So, Doug, your turn?
Yeah, so like you said, Meowth runs away quite literally with his tail between his legs, and he's got tears in his eyes. Like, you can tell it stung him to
be good.
Well, no, it stung him to slip up, because he was kind of digging the hero lifestyle. And then old Timmy runs after him, and then basically everybody else runs after him, because they said, look, if some shit's going down, we're all going to see it. And Meowth runs.
Meowth actually cries as he runs away, because he doesn't want to run away, but he has to, because it's a part of the plan, Doug.
Right, and he said, you know, and Meowth's basically like gritting his teeth and cussing to himself, because he's like, fuck that up, and I had him in the palm of my hand, and I had to open my big Meowth and everything, and then. Is this the first time in the series that we've gotten a redo of the theme?
A little bit, yes.
Because usually they either go clean through it, or it gets interrupted, and then that's it.
You know what I chopped that up to? I think they needed an extra 30 seconds of this episode where they needed to fill out some time. So they just let Jesse and James do their spiel again.
It came back and they're like, short.
Yes. So Yes, so Team Rocket does their spiel for the second time in the episode. And when it gets to Meowth's line, where Meowth goes, "Meowth, that's right." And as he's getting ready to say it, they freaking whack the shit out of Meowth and just send him flying because he needs to shut his trap.
They said, "Look, it's your fault we're in this mess."
And they're like, Ash is like, "Oh, not you again." And then Jesse's like, "Yeah, we've retired from the world of magic. But we still have some tricks up our sleeve." And then you get a wide shot of all the kids clamoring over to Team Rocket again. And Team Rocket likes the attention from the kids, but they're very awkward with them because Jesse, she can't help herself but call them little brats while smiling at them.
Well, but those kids are probably numb to being called brats because apparently the teacher does it every day.
Yes. And it's these kids' treats now because Jesse and James are challenging our trio to a Pokemon battle. So it's at this point that Jesse sends out Arbok, James sends out Weezing, and if from here, let's see, Ash sends out Pidgeotto.
Pidgeotto, and Brock sends out Onix.
Yes. Oh, I loved Brock's line here because Brock straight up says, "I'll help you out this time," like he doesn't ever help, which I'm starting to think back now. No, it's always Ash and Pikachu that are getting rid of Team Rocket. Brock just stands back and goes, "All right, well, I'll just watch."
Says snippy stuff with Misty.
Yeah. And it's at this point now where Weezing is sent into the battle to do Smog. And Ash is like, "That trick won't work this time because I got Pidgeotto. Pidgeotto, use your gust attack," and sends all the Smog away. And along with sending them away, Weezing goes flying in the Smog as well.
Right. And then
and then Onix, you hear a bunch of kids go, "Wee."
And then Onix just completely trucks Arbok into some rocks.
Oh, well, not yet, Doug. Not yet. Arbok dug a hole in front of the rock, and all the kids went down in the hole right before this happened.
Ah, fuck them kids.
So it's at this point, because all the kids fell into this little hole, and Arbok kind of trailed underground and went above and then broke out in a rock and just flew out. And yes, as you said, Onix just trucked Arbok.
Just completely just gave him the old Madden stiffer, just bang, and just knocked the big boulder off of this pile.
Boulder is coming down, and of course, Ash tells everyone to run away. Everyone runs away, but good old little clumsy Timmy,
he falls. Clumsy Timmy, he just falls, and he's going to get squished.
I think this is the Timmy from the Fairly Odd Parents, because it just, no wonder he got Fairly Odd Parents at this point.
Freaking, look, somebody's got to watch after this kid, for goodness sakes.
I know. But this boulder is flying down. Ash goes and grabs little Timmy, and Meowth has a moment where he's like, "I can't save them, even though I want to." And then out of nowhere, we get the wild Meowth jumps off of Team Rocket's Meowth's head, jumps up, and he karate kicks this boulder in half.
Bullshit.
And saves everybody.
Bullshit.
You don't think Meowth can do that?
Big old bullshit. A Meowth? No. A Hitmonlee? Sure.
But it's a karate Meowth.
I don't give a shit.
Maybe it's a high-level Meowth.
It better be.
But my problem is, he karate kicked this boulder in half. And then out of nowhere, we have Team Rocket. I think they added that scene in, like, as an extra part, because they didn't put two and two together that this boulder was just broken in half, but now it's put back together, and Team Rocket's on top of it running trying to catch their balance, and now the boulder is chasing me out.
Well, you see, what happened was, well, no, they're on a separate boulder.
There was only one boulder.
No, there's two boulders.
Oh, I thought there was only one.
I think.
Boulder.
Otherwise, yeah, you're right. And they completely just made this up. But, like, I mean, you got to go back and look at the moment of impact on the.
On the rock.
On the rock.
Yeah, it's just the one boulder.
All right, so they fucked up. And but there again, they didn't figure in the fact that 20 years from now, we were going to be able to bring this up on a computer, pause it, and fast forward it.
And watch it again.
And watch it again. I said, look, people are going to see this one time.
But it's at this point in the episode now where Meowth, after he saved everybody, is just sitting on top of a rock, scratching its head after he saved everybody from the boulder. And everyone's like, oh, so he wasn't lying. That's the real Meowth. And then we get the closing to the episode. Doug? That's
the real Meowth. Yes, but then we get the classic Pokemon goodbye. When we say goodbye to characters that we're never going to see again.
Yes.
And Brock has a horny line here somewhere.
He said, give me one moment. Let's see. Right here. Okay.
The teacher's thanking him for all his all their help. And Brock steps up and says, if you ever need anything, just call me. He basically should have said, please call me.
Yes.
And
little Timmy is now inspired to be a Pokemon trainer.
He's going to be a Pokemon trainer. And he says, and this is where I'm kind of because he says me and my Meowth, but that Meowth doesn't have any intentions of being caught.
No.
Because if he would be, if he did, he'd be sitting there with him, not on a daggum rooftop.
Yeah, that's true. And he wasn't caught in a Pokeball, so it's not his, but maybe that Meowth is going to stick around.
It's not.
You don't think so?
Well, you know it isn't. and I'm pretty sure it isn't.
But it's at this point, everyone's walking, or our trio is walking away. All the kids are saying their goodbye. And we get the ending to Kids Day. And it was a successful Kids Day because all the kids got to play with the Pokemon. They got to see a Pokemon battle. One of the kids got kidnapped by accident. But then we get Team Rocket in the sunset. And they have a few lines. Jesse's like, if you would have kept your mouth shut, you could have made everyone think you were the hero, Meowth. And Meowth is like, nah. That helpless bunch of sticky little brats would have driven me nuts. And James is like, and Meowth is like, besides, you two need me more than anything. And then they're like, dream on, Meowth. By the way, what do we do now? And Meowth has a pinky in the brain moment. And he's like, Meowth, we've got to get that Pikachu. Don't worry, Jesse. Meowth would do it. And oh no, that's the narrator, isn't it?
That's the narrator, yeah.
Yeah. So they have a pinky in the brain moment where, what are you gonna do now? The same thing we do every day. We're gonna try to take over the world. We're
gonna try and fail.
So that's the end of this week's episode, and then we go into the Pokemon jukebox. Let's see, what is this week's Pokemon jukebox.
Whatever song is focused around Team Rocket.
Oh, yes. The Team Rocket, basically the Team Rocket rap. And it's like, let's see. They do their spiel. And after they do their spiel, they go, Team Rocket blasts off at the speed of light. Surrender now or prepare to fight. That's right. Team Rocket's rocking. and we get some future clips of some episodes that we're going to be coming across here in season two. We actually get one from season three, and we get a glimpse of a Beauty and the Beach with the Gyarados. With the Gyarados little snippet from when they were in the water.
Shit, it is canon.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we, that's this week's episode. I'm not going to go through every single scene in this jukebox, but, go ahead and take a listen to the jukebox. You'll like it. And
yeah. You can't make that promise to the people.
Can't make that promise to what?
You said they'll like it. They might not like it. You can't be saying that.
Well, if they haven't watched any future episodes, which most likely they have, they'll get to see some previews to some future episodes that's coming up this season, Doug.
Yeah, but is that worth putting up with the song?
No. It's not the best song.
Well, there you go.
But that leads us into what we're going to be going over next week. Next week is episode 58, Riddle Me This. Riddle Me This, Doug. So, they're not Batman fans at all, right?
Well, no, it doesn't. I wonder, I mean, I don't know how much digging you would have to do for, like, when this episode eventually aired on WB. I wonder if they did like a Riddler or Joker like tie-in.
You know, I'm going to do some digging and I'll have the answer to that next week, Doug. I can easily find that out.
I was just thinking, because like that seems like... Because like I remember seeing like promos, like advertising Pokemon as a whole. And it had like Batman and Pinky and the Brain, and I'm trying to think of what else was on WB at the time. And like everybody was all palling around, and they say, "Oh, here comes that mouse," or whatever.
Well, we're going to find out. I'm gonna do a little bit of digging. So we will see.
So, but all right,
everybody. Well, that's this week's episode, and we're done. So, say goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
And this is Wrestling Chris G telling all of you, don't miss next week's episode because it is a gym battle, everyone. Well, part one to a gym battle.
Spoiler.
Hey, we got a two-parter coming up. But have a good night, everybody.